great to be with you again. John hasn't heard all my story, so it's always a risk inviting someone along, and you've heard maybe a bit of their story, but not all of it. Just going to begin with some words from Luke's Gospel. Luke 11, verse 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to him, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" John's asked me to share something of my story, and so I want to begin with that seeking. You're those who seek, find. Well, growing up in a home where my dad was a church minister, I found it that probably when it came to sort of believing in God in terms of head, there hasn't really been a part where I haven't believed in my head that there's a God. But there was a big difference between the head and heart, as you know. And so for me, there was a real struggle about giving myself fully to God. Because for me, growing up in a Christian home and being in a home where you get to hear things that maybe other people don't get to hear, you start to sort of see a bit more of the hypocrisy within the church, and that really turned me off. You would get those who would call themselves Christians, but I don't know if you've heard someone saying that their face needs to get told by their heart that they're Christians. You get me? That was where I saw people who called themselves Christians, but their face didn't tell it. There were some, but not many within the church. And so when it came to me being confirmed, I didn't want to be. And I felt if I gave my life to Jesus, he'd make a mess of it. Because that was what I was told by people's faces, these long faces. I sort of thought, I don't want to be like that. And so it wasn't until I was on my year out in Belfast, I was studying as an architect, I was on my year out, and I went to a church where I saw young people my age who had a joy in their face. And so my misconceptions were challenged by what I saw before me. Here were people who had a joy in their face, not a frown. And so I began to look at things for myself and came to faith. Because what I saw was what I wanted. I saw joy, and I wanted that joy. I wanted that peace that I saw in these people's faces. Having been in the Territorial Army during my third year at college to try and get a bit of extra money to do architecture, I was someone who was filled with a lot of fear about dying. Because coming back to Northern Ireland, I left the TA because they sent forms for direct entry into Sandhurst through to my Edinburgh address, and my landlady, she redirected it through to my Northern Ireland address. Went through Strabane Post Office, probably the worst place it could have gone through. And so I was so afraid that I was going to be killed. And that was before becoming a Christian. And so this fear that was there, fear of death, really had a grip of me. I can remember being going to my home in Belfast and being followed by this car. And the car was going around the block, and it was a Tyrone registration. And I was sort of thinking, I'm really in trouble here. And so I went round the block, went quickly. When I saw the guy was past me, I then doubled back, went into the house, took off my coat, took off my my jumper, went out in my shirt, sort of thought maybe he won't recognize me, went to the phone box to call the police, because I thought this was for someone from the IRA. And so he saw me going to the phone box and sped off. And so I had to go to the police station and make a statement, and they said, well, it may not be that this guy was from the IRA. It could be that, did you know that the place that you live in, not far away, is a place for picking up people? So I didn't know that, and I wondered why I'd been followed by lots of men, but it wasn't until that time. But I had a real fear of death, and that was a thing that I saw when I came to faith. That fear of death went, because I realized now my life is hidden in Christ, and I didn't have to fear death any longer. And so that was one of the things I saw straight away when I came to faith. That fear went. I was someone who had quite a temper. That went as well overnight. And now it would take a lot to get me annoyed. But those were things I began to see. But then to come to another point where I had to learn, I suppose there's been lessons, there have been milestones in my life where I've had to learn things. And probably one of the next hardest things for me to learn was that God is a God who provides for us. He's a good father. He longs to give us good things. And I went forward for the church final ministry, was turned down because I was evangelical. And so then wondered what I was going to do with my life. And someone had said, look, if things don't work out with that, why don't you go to University and Colleges Christian Fellowship? They were trying to start up a new thing called Relay. They needed people on the ground, but they couldn't afford to pay them. And so they had this thing where you would, for 1 or 2 years, you would be a volunteer. And so Joanne and I, we were praying about this, and the thing that really I struggled with was not being paid. How am I going to live? Where's this money going to come from? Living by faith. And we were up on the hill, we were praying, and a friend of ours was living about 8 miles away. And he was watching rugby, pulled himself away from the TV because God had given a word for us. And he went to the place where I was staying, put a note through the door with a couple of Bible verses on it. So when we had come away from prayer, went to back home, here the verses that he gave me were from Luke 10, 2-4. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. What is it going to say? Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. And that was confirmation that I had to go this way. I had to take a step of faith and God would provide. And there are times where I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. One particular time when I was down to 20 pence, I was in the church. We were in a large church, and at the beginning of the service, they would say, maybe you want to turn and greet someone. So I could hear the people beside me. They were talking about going on their third or fourth holiday, and this was May. I was feeling really sorry for myself because all I had was 20 pence. I was going, I wish I could go on a holiday, but all I have is 20 pence. And did God take out the violin? No. I felt God saying to me, I want you to give that away. And I started arguing with God, but Lord, it's all I have. And God said, well, how far can I get you? I can get you one stop on the bus. It can't even buy you a Mars bar. Give it away and you'll have me. So when it came to the collection time, here I was, what am I going to do? And so I put it into the collection plate, was down on my knees at the end of the service saying, Lord, I'm really in your hands. I have nothing except you. Within a few minutes, a couple came up to me and they gave me an envelope and they said, the Lord has told us to give you this. When I opened it, it was 100 times what I put in the plate. And I saw that time and time again where God provided for me. But every time it was still a struggle because you're sort of thinking, what's going to happen here? I was on a taxi one day. I had to get somewhere really, really quickly. And you know the way that sometimes you pray things and then afterwards you sort of think, why did I pray that? And is this really going to work? Well, I prayed, I put my hand in my pocket, I pulled out some money and I said, Lord, let this be enough. And it was £3.60. And as the taxi went, I could see the meter was going and going. I thought, no, this is never going to work. And I thought, right, I'll stop by a cash point machine, get some money, and I'll be okay. But the guy turned a different way. I was going, okay, when it gets to 3.60, I'm going to tell him to stop, and I'll walk the rest of the way. I'll be late. I'd rather be late than be embarrassed with not having enough money. So just as I was about to tell him to stop, he reached across, pressed a button on the machine, and I was going, started arguing with God, saying, I know what he's going to do. He's going to press another button when I get there, and I'm going to be really embarrassed because I won't have the money to pay. But sure enough, when I got to the destination, which was over a mile away, he said, 3.60. So I had the faith to pray it, but I didn't have the faith along the way to see what was going to happen. But yet, God was still faithful. You see, we believe in a Father who is good, a Father who longs to give good things. That's just one of those things. So I learned about God being the provider. The next thing was God's presence. Feeling God's presence in a powerful way. I was someone who was really seeking for more of God than what I had experienced up to that point. And so you've probably heard of the Toronto Blessing. At that stage, there were lots of meetings that were going on where for those who were really hungry for more of God, they were invited to come along to these things. So 20 years ago today, we went along to an event where on Pentecost, they were inviting people forward. Now, I had been to lots of these things before, and being someone with a very rational mind, as someone who trained in architecture, there have been times where people prayed things over me, and I rationalized those things away. So maybe someone prayed hotter, hotter, and I get hotter, and then I'd sort of think, well, I just got hotter because that person was praying that thing over me, and it's almost like my brain then told my body to get hotter. So I'm trying to rationalize things away. So then, during the meeting, the person who was speaking, John Arnott, he asked people to come forward, those who found it hard to receive. So I went forward as someone I find it hard to receive. And here I was on the platform, and I got this guy come up to me, and he started to push me. I was going, oh, Lord, sometimes in these situations, you can get people who do try and manipulate. And unfortunately, I got someone who was trying to manipulate and trying to push me, and I was pushing back. And then after a while, he just got tired and went away. And so I had my eyes shut, and I was just enjoying the worship. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand on my chest. And I thought, oh, no, he's back again. And I opened my eyes, looked down, and there was nothing there. And then I heard God saying, trust me. And then I felt the hand move to my shoulder, and bit by bit was being pulled over to the side until I was standing at 45-degree angle. Now, as a rational person, I knew that was impossible to do. I tried to lift my foot off the floor, couldn't. It was like someone had stapled me to the floor. And just at that point, I felt God's hand come to my head, and I felt my head was brought to his chest. And I just heard the words, you're mine, and I love you. and I burst into tears. And the Lord did a lot of work through that, of just realizing that he is a good, good father, as we've been singing. But you know, that could have easily, I could have missed out on that, either if I hadn't have gone forward, or if I had let that person who tried to manipulate stop me from getting there by saying, oh, this isn't of God. You, there could have been so easy for me to just say, no, I'm just going to walk away. But because I was hungry and thirsty for more of God, I stayed and waited, and God showed up. Now, it wasn't anyone praying over me. There was no one praying over me. Prayer is important, and I think it's great when people do pray over you. But you can do this even in your own home. Just be hungry and thirsty for more of God, and God will show up. And so God touched me in a powerful way, and there have been times since that where I've sensed God's presence. But even when we don't sense his presence, he's still there. And so the next thing, if you've been following it, there have been three P's: pardon, provider, presence, promise. The next thing was promise. So Joanne and I, we'd been in Uganda and Kenya ministering there. We'd saw amazing things happening. People being healed, people being delivered, people being set free, people coming to faith. And then we felt the Lord calling us back to be missionaries here. And having seen amazing things happening there, in 2005, we came back here for just a few weeks to do a celebration as CMS Ireland. We're bringing folk from all around the world who were part of their organization to have a conference. And so we came back, and part of that time, I was speaking in some of the churches that supported us. And I had this stupid notion, if we came back, will ministry be boring? Because it wasn't boring there, but I had the sense that maybe here it would be. And I like to be in a place where, when it comes to prayer ministry, where I'm praying with someone else. I don't like to be praying when I'm on my own with someone. But God put me in a 24-hour period in a position where I was the only one there to show me that he is the same there as he is here. We were at a service, and during the service, when it came to the prayer time, my godfather, who had been staying with, his grandson was seriously ill, hadn't drank for 2 or 3 days, and was slipping downhill, and there wasn't anything that the doctors could really do. It seemed that way anyway. And so I just felt the Lord saying to me, I want you to stretch out your hands in front of you as if Jack was there, and speak healing over him. So that's what I did. As other folk were praying about other things, here I was sitting in the seat, and I just stretched out my hands. And as I did it, I felt like someone had plugged me into the electric socket. And I prayed, I spoke healing over him in Jesus' name. Later on that night, we went back to my godfather's home, and I talked to him about having a time of soaking. Don't know if you know what that is, but you're having sort of worship music on, and just the sense of being soaking in God's presence. And then after that, we prayed for each other. And I prayed for him for healing, and he felt that he had been healed. And then he prayed, and then I felt that the Lord was giving him a prophetic anointing, and spoke that over him. And then when he prayed over me, he actually gave me a prophecy straight away. Then the next day, I went away to visit some folk in the parish in that place. When I came back, my godfather says, you'll never guess what happened. When Jack woke up in the morning, he went into his mum and dad's room and asked for a drink of water, and was running around as if nothing had happened, completely well again. And just as he said that, I heard very clearly from God, how can ministry be boring when I'm involved? How can ministry be boring when I'm involved? I think for many of us, I don't know if you've ever seen the film national treasure. And some of you have seen National Treasure. Now, for those who haven't seen National Treasure, most of you haven't seen National Treasure, but in National Treasure, there's this scene towards the end where they come into this storeroom, and there's all these precious jewels and so on. And they're going, wow, when they see all these things. But then one of them, he senses that there's these tracks that are going down into something else, and he picks up the torch and he sets it to it. And all of a sudden you see all of these tracks going blazing into flames, and you start to see that little room that they were in was just a little bit. And there was all this treasure, more and more, vast amount. And for many of us, I think we're a bit like that. That we're just in the small room of the store, and we think, wow, but God's got so much more for us. You see, he's the how much more Father. That's what it says in that passage. How much more will your Father? He's always the how much more. That's why it says in Ephesians 3, that is, even what we imagine, he can do much more than all we can ever ask or imagine. He's the how much more Father. But it's all to do with where we want to be. Do you know you're as close to God as you want to be? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So it's all to do with how much more of God do you want? How much more do you want to see? Because we limit God by how we view things, how we view him, how we view ministry, how we view ourselves. If you think you can't do something, then you're limiting God too. And so much of that we see in Christianity, don't we? Where he can do that, but maybe I can't do that. First time I ever spoke in front of people was I had only been a Christian for about a year. I had to preach in front of 450 people. And I was absolutely and utterly petrified. And when I got up to speak, I prayed that God would use my lips, that he would speak through them. And I felt like I had this almost like out-of-body experience. I felt like I was observing my body being used by God. I was asked at the before this started whether or not I was nervous, and probably wouldn't be nervous because I'm used to it. I don't know about John, but I'm nervous before I get up and speak every time. But when I pray, I believe that God takes over. If I ever lost that sense, I would wonder what strength I'm doing it in. And you see, we can often, you might start to be sitting down there looking at John, looking at other people doing things and think, I can't do that. That's limiting God. Because God can use each one of us. And he's the how much more Father. So it's about whether or not you want to be used by him and putting your life in his hands and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I'm willing. I'm willing. Don't limit what he wants to do in or through you, because he is that how much more Father. And I believe that there's some here tonight and that you're really struggling with that. That maybe God's asking you to do things and you've been saying, but Lord, I don't think I could do that. And maybe you've lost touch of that Father, that good Father, the how much more Father. And I believe God's challenging some of you to move out of the little room and see the vast space that is there for you, for him to do ministry in and through you. So let's just have a moment of quietness.